Starting at verse 1, the Bible says this. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah, the king, the queen, the eunuchs, the prince of Judah, Jerusalem, and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent into Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, verse 4, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them, verse 5 says. Verse 6, take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord, it's verse 8 now, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which ye cause to be dreamed. It's an interesting verse. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I'll visit you and perform my good toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know, and this is our text now, verses 11 through 14, many people use verse 11 as a life's verse, as a favorite verse of the Bible. It says this, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I'll be found of you, saith the Lord. And I'll return. I will turn away, verse 14 says, your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. I want you to notice again with me, verse 11. And let's read this together, church, would you, just to get our minds cleared and thoughts and hearts on this. Verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I want to bring a message that I've given it a title. You can give it several different titles. This is what I want our thought to be this morning as we read the Word of God, study the Word of God. And that is this thought, when God thinks about you. When God thinks about you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you be with us in these next moments together. I thank you for this crowd that's here. We got a lot of folks traveling. We got some folks visiting again with us. We're so glad everybody's here. I am. We got some folks out, sick, hurting. Pray for all of these in our church. For those who have gathered, when I pray, and there'll be maybe many that are listening on our outreach as we pray for them. But Lord, I pray in these next few moments that you'll bless, that you'll do, Lord, this morning, what only you can do. Hide this finite mind and stammering tongue behind the glorious message of the cross. And I pray to you, Lord, that I wouldn't say anything that's cruel or unkind. But Lord, just simply preach your word. You know every need of every heart. But I thank you so much for how much you've done for us already. We could just praise you here this morning for your many, many blessings. We praise you again. Lord, we ask that you be with us now. But I pray for that heart that's heavy today, that's burdened today. I pray that you give them comfort. Lord, help them in a special way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All of God's people said. Have you ever wondered if somebody was thinking about you? As I read this, I remember maybe when you're growing up and you first get your first sweetheart, that first crush that you have. Some of y'all are like, that's been a long time ago, Brother Dallas. And maybe you as a young man or a young lady said, well, I wonder if they're even thinking about me. In fact, there's been some famous songs, poems written about thinking about our love. And we think, well, I wonder if they're thinking about me. Or maybe it's your mom or dad and you haven't seen them for a while. Or maybe, you know, they live in another place. Or maybe you look up to them and say, I wonder if they even think about me. I wonder if their minds are thinking about me. Or maybe you meet somebody famous and they speak to you. And you get your picture taken and you think, boy, man, they thought about me. I was in their presence. And I don't know if you think about things like that. I think about things like that. I remember as a young boy, I would think, you know, I grew up in a split home, and I remember thinking, I wonder if my dad thinks about me. I wonder if my grandparents think about me. And I would sit and I would contemplate things like that. I've been to the big football stadiums where there's thousands of people gathered together, and I remember thinking, Lord, how is it that you could think about somebody as insignificant as me when there's millions of people on the earth? How could it, God in heaven? In fact, the Bible says this, there's a verse, says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Bible tells us in this passage of Scripture that God actually thinks about you. Now, we can understand that because we can't think but about so many people at a time. In fact, you'll maybe see a picture and say, oh, I remember them, and their name or whoever they are will course through your brain, but you maybe forgot them. But God does not forget, and God knows. And I want to bring a message this morning about when God thinks about you. Did you know that God thinks about you? That encourages me. Now, there's some things it does this morning. That's what we're going to look at. When you start to contemplate and see what the Scripture says when God thinks about you. Now, you may feel like, well, nobody cares, and you know the government don't care, and this person don't care, and there's people that you may look up to, and they never even think about you. They could care less. Your hero may not ever have thought about you, have no idea who you are. But the Bible says that God, it says again in this text, for I know the thoughts I think toward you. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Now, we have to give a little bit of a background. And I want you to understand what's going on here. The nation of Israel, because of their own sin as a nation, God allows them to come into captivity. And in this passage of Scripture, the prophet Jeremiah has sent the message that they are going to be in captivity and they are not going to be delivered for about 70 years is what the Scripture says. In fact, it goes so far to say if a preacher, if a prophet or a diviner comes and tells you that you're going to be delivered, don't listen to them. And if you start dreaming dreams that you cause to be dreamed, thinking that you're going to be delivered, don't listen to that either. You do what I tell you to do here, and because you're going to be in captivity for 70 years. The enemy has got you here for these generations. It's a powerful passage if you look at it. And God tells them to build and to plant and to marry and to live their lives and to just live their life as if they're going to be there forever. And then he says, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give an expected end. Hey, my people, he's saying, you're going to be in bondage and you're going to think, this is horrible. How are we ever going to get out of this? I can't believe God did this to us. I can't believe that. How would a loving God do this to us? You have the same questions, and God says, I am going to be thinking about you while this goes on. You're not going to be alone. Now, when you think about this here, this thinking about us and this thinking about, now I think we can make the application of the context here is to his people at this time in history. He says, he goes on and says, you shall call upon me and you shall go and pray unto me and I will hearken unto you. You can talk to me, but I'm going to be thinking about you, but you're going to be going through this at this time. When God thinks about you, in fact, there's some, by way of introduction, when he thinks about us here in this passage of Scripture, you think about this, it's a very intimate thing. I love it when somebody says to me, Brother Dallas, I've been praying for you. I've had you on my mind. Wow, that's an intimate thing. I know when I first met Miss Cindy, I'm still this way, I think about her constantly. She is in my mind. You know, you ever heard that one line, or some of you, let me help some of you young guys haven't met a girl yet, said, are you tired? So you go to your girl and say, are you tired? So why do you think I'm tired? You've been running around in my mind all day. Y'all never heard that? I told you I snooze. But anyway, That's a very intimate thing to say to someone, isn't it? You're in my mind. That's why literature is so powerful. That's why music is so powerful. That's why movies are so powerful, because they get in our mind. That's why when you watch a TV commercial, that annoying song gets in your mind. I mean, I've never been into an O'Reilly's. I was driving down the road. I looked over and saw an O'Reilly's, and I had that commercial, that crazy commercial they play. O'Reilly's. Anybody know that? It was in my mind. They did a good job. I think I've been into one time by some floor mats. I thought it was a restaurant. It gets in our minds. I could go through this building this morning and give you a few jingles or a few songs. And some of you that are older, in fact, I could bring up a song and it'll go back in time. You remember your high school days. That is so powerful, the thoughts in your mind. You'll remember a smell sometime. These are all interlocked. God made us that way, by the way. I was reminded this morning as I was listening to the radio coming to church, and a man was interviewing one of the first astronauts in space, and I did not know this. I didn't know this. They read part of Genesis chapter 1. They read that. So this is our message back to Earth, because when they got up there and they saw the planet and the dividing of the waters, they realized, hey, this is exactly what Genesis says. Isn't that amazing? And those things, as they were reading it, I was driving down the road this morning, I've seen the pictures that they have. I picture that in my mind. It was in our minds. And so when we think about our minds, it's a very intimate thing. To say that God thinks about us is a very intimate thing. In fact, religions around the world do not teach that. Christianity teaches that, but not religion in general does not teach that, but Christianity does, that God thinks about us. It's a very intimate thing. It's a very individual thing. You may not think about me, and I may not think about you on a daily basis. It's a very individual thing. But God thinks about all of us individually. See, Christianity is a very personal, individual thing. That's why it's so powerful. That's why the world hates it. That's why a little boy or a little girl can hear the gospel. In fact, this one man said as he heard them reading the scripture there, that it convicted him. He realized. It's an amazing thing how God works with people on an individual basis. When God thinks about us, it's also infinite. See, God has infinite knowledge. I may think about you and only have a certain amount of knowledge. I may think something about you that may not even be true. I may think something about you that you have shown me or that you've told me I have really no idea about. I may not understand it all. But God has infinite knowledge when he thinks about it. And then it's instant. God can think about us instantly. He doesn't forget us. There's so much going on in this passage. Now, I want to give you three things I want you to think about today before we go home. If you want to write these things down, and the first one is conviction. And number one is this, he knows, and all these are going to be he knows. By the way, how many of y'all know this? God knows. Mankind don't know. I don't know. You may not know. Hey, but God knows this morning. And God knows your sins. Number one, God knows your sins. You can't hide sin. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I don't want this to be a convicting message per se. But when you read this passage of Scripture, God knew what the nation of Israel did. I remind you that God's people many times thumbed their nose at God. They turned their backs on God. They turned away from God. I saw a picture yesterday of the once great denomination of the Presbyterians. And they were praying to Muhammad in a church service. I remind you that the Presbyterians is a denomination that were like a cousin to us as Baptists. And we have fellowship with him. In fact, I have Presbyterian authors in my library that I look up to. Great preachers of the gospel of Christ. And I thought to myself, what happened to us? I think about some of our Baptists are doing the same thing. And I thought to myself, what has happened to us? Where are we going with this? But God knows everything. God knows the truth. Hey, God knows your sin. He knew what happened to the nation of Israel. He knew what was taking place. He knows. In fact, when you think about him knowing your sin, it is very convicting, because I may not know and you may not know, somebody else may not know, God knows all about it. God knows the details about it. In fact, when we think about him knowing our sin, it is something that convicts us. And I want to read, when we think about this knowledge about our sin, God knew all about Israel's sins. There was nothing in their hearts or in their lives that he did not know. He already knew. They had thumbed their nose against God. They had said, no, we don't. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 32 describe that what's going on today. They were given over to vile affection. God's people, in fact, God said in the book of Ezra, wherein have I wearied thee? Why are you mad at me? God knew they didn't have any right to be mad at him, but they had gotten to the point where they were sinning and going against God, and God allowed the captivity. Did you know sometimes God allows people to get exactly what they want, not to bless them, but to judge them? God allows things to take place. God knew about their sin. People are really silly when it comes to their sin. They often act as if God cannot see or isn't aware of what they are doing. However, since the first sin was committed in the Garden of Eden, God has witnessed every single one. That's convicting. That ought to burden us. That ought to bother us. We should never go around tooting our own horn as if we are something great. The Bible tells us that God knew. In fact, if you remember, God told Adam, where art thou? Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. Not because he didn't know where Adam was, because he wanted Adam to know that he knew where he was. God is no less aware today. In fact, the book of Hebrews, the book of Job says, for now thou numberest my steps. Dost thou not watch over my sin? God knows every step you've ever taken. You know, maybe had a watch or a pedometer of some sort, and it counts your steps. You see how many steps you've went. You know, so I went 8,000, went 10,000, went 300, whatever it is you did. You see how many steps you've taken? God knows every single step. God knows every one of those. God knows every breath that you've taken. In fact, Psalm 90 verse 8 says, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. And with this truth in our minds this morning, it is really a futile thing to think that we're going to hide any sin from the Lord. That's why the Bible says this, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I've heard people say, well, God loves everybody and God gives mercy. Let me tell you something, friend. You better read all of your Bible. God does not play with sin. And I've heard even Christians in this last month of, you know, love everybody. God does not tolerate sin. He is a God of righteousness. He is a God of mercy and love and forgiveness. He is love. He's also of holiness and righteousness. And God is telling his people right here that he knows about their sin. They are going into bondage because he knew exactly what they were doing. And he knows what you and I are doing. And that's a very convicting thing. Most of you this morning, I know I would not want everything in my life for y'all to watch on a billboard this morning. I wouldn't want to bring a screen in here and y'all see everything I've ever done. I would be embarrassed about it, and so would you. Amen. Now, if you haven't lived that life, then y'all pray for the rest of us that have. But I know people, you know people. You may not say amen right there, but you may say old me right there. And God knows every one of those things, and it's convicting to us because he thinks about us. He thinks about us. He contemplates that. Some of you that have had children think when your child maybe makes a mistake or goes against a rule, and you think, now, Lord, how do I handle this? You pray, Lord, how do I correct them? How do I love on them and show them and direct them? But you think about that, what they've done. Same thing with the Lord. He thinks about us, and it's convicting. And it should be. In fact, can I say this to you this morning? What America needs, and I believe it's shouting and saying amen. I want us to praise the Lord. I think sometimes we're too quiet here. But let me say, what we also need is an old-fashioned, come to Jesus meeting, calm down, be quiet, shut our mouth, humble ourselves, and get right with God. I'm talking about confess sin. Say, Lord, you already know it. You already see it. I'm confessing it. God, cleanse me of my sin. And God's saying, I'm putting you into bondage to get your attention, Israel. So he knows our sins. But secondly, let's go on here. Because I really want this to be encouraging to you. And that is, he knows your situation. Did you know everybody has different situations? Did you know that everybody has different situations? Amen. We all have different circumstances. We all have different things. I went around this building, and some of them are perplexing. And some of them are complicated. And some of them we don't have all the answers to. And some of them we'll never have all the answers to. And some of them we won't know until we get to heaven. What in the world is going on? I hear people act like they got it all figured out. And the older I get, the dumber I feel.
The older I get, I'm like, man, I thought I knew way more about the Bible when I was 25 than I do now. The more I read and study, I'm like, man, Lord, I don't think I know as much as I do. Lord, I need to trust you and look to you. Hey, he knows your situation. He knew what was going on. He knew that they were going to be in bondage. He knew that they were going to have what was going to take place. And he goes into great detail. And he tells him, says, take you wives and beget sons. He knew what they were doing. I'm sure somebody said, I can't believe God would do this to us. Why would a loving, I hear this all the time, why would a loving God allow bad things to happen to good people? That is one of the biggest, I guess, I don't know how you'd word this, I don't want to be cruel or harsh, but that is a misnomer. That's pretending as if we are deserving. That's pretending, that's putting man on the throne instead of God. Why would a loving God, a perfect God, a righteous God, have anything to do with a wretch like me is what we ought to be asking. So we're asking the wrong question. In fact, God's wanting his people to realize it is he that they need to look to, not themselves. It's not anything that they've done. God is the one that has blessed and God has moved in their life. He knows your situation. He knows my situation. You know, everybody don't know everybody's situation. Most of you all, I would guess this morning, do not know what I have done in this last week. And vice versa, I don't know what you have done this week. I don't know where you've been. I don't know the decisions you've had to make. I don't know the work you've had to do. I have no idea what you've done, and most of y'all have no idea what I've done. Amen? And most of us could really probably care less. But it's important to think about it because everybody has a different situation. Have no idea. I have no idea what somebody goes through. You have no idea what burden somebody has on them this morning. You have no idea what they've been through in their life. I have no idea, but God knows. In fact, I want to read some things to you. I'm going to give you five things about your situation and my situation. In fact, it's a pretty special thing when you think about it. The sufferings and burdens of our life are greater than we feel we can bear. But in the midst of them, we have some pretty precious things in God's Word. Let me give you five of these real quickly. Number one, He knows all about it. He knows all about it. If God knows all about it, then it must be part of His plan for my life. If that is true, then I can accept it and trust Him to bring me safely through. God knew all about what's going on here. He's telling them, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I'm going to be in charge. I'm going to take care of you. Everything's going to be all right. But you're going to go through something here, and you're not ready. It's not going to be easy. This being in bondage under the enemy. Most of us, as we celebrate our independence this past weekend, we think about everything that's happened and all the good things that and being an American. I guess it was this past July 4th. Most of us, we don't want to be in bondage. I like it this morning. This week that I could, if I want to sleep in, if I want to go to work, if I want to work on this, want to go here, want to buy that, want to drive somewhere. We have the freedom to do that. I didn't have to check in with the government. I didn't have to get a permit. And I think the less permits we have, the better off we are. But I'm a little bit crazy on that. Amen. I like freedom. How y'all like freedom? Thank God for freedom. We fought and bled and died for freedom. We enjoy that freedom. And let me tell you something this morning. God wants us to be free, but He understands everything that's going on, whatever situation, He understood this bondage that they were going through. They were going to be in bondage. They didn't have that freedom in God anymore. He knows all about your situation. I may not, but He knows all about it, whatever you're going through. He thinks about your, see, you look and say, man, no, nobody understands, Brother Dallas. You may come to me, nobody understands. I may come to you, nobody understands. I've looked at my wife, bless her little heart, and said, man, honey, you don't even understand. I don't know if y'all ever pouted and cried at your wife. I do. I mean, I've looked at the dog and said, dog, you don't understand what I've been through today. And they don't, and you don't, and I don't. But God does. God knows all about it. I mean, He knows it. And here's the fact. He is thinking about your situation. Now, most of us are, man, God, He ain't thinking about what I'm thinking about. Yes, He is. He said, I know the thoughts I think towards you. I'm thinking about you. I know. He's saying when you're in bondage and you go and you establish a family there and you put roots down there and you're under captivity, He says, I know that. Can you imagine us going back under British rule, going back under the rule of another government? Can you imagine us going under Nazi Germany or communist control or socialism? Could you imagine somebody in America running under a socialist tick? Would that ever take place in America, that they'd redistribute the wealth that somebody has, and that they would talk about the rich and that the poor needs to get a thing? Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I'm talking about what's going on in America. I won't be political this morning, but could you imagine if we put ourselves under that tyranny? Can you imagine that in America, where we pay 37% tax, when our government, our forefathers, our ancestors overthrew for a whole lot less percentage of tax? Could you imagine that? Well, we wouldn't put up with it. We believe in the right to bear arms. If somebody wants to come and get our guns, no, you can't do that. That's what's taking place. And God says, I know every detail about this. I know everything that's going on in your life. The horrible thing that you can imagine, He knows all about it. Number two, write this down. He is there in the midst of it. There are times when the presence of God can neither be seen nor felt, but He's there nonetheless, protecting, providing, and watching out after His own. Matthew 28:20, Hebrews 13:5. He says, I'll never leave thee, or what? I remember. Now that means He never leaves us nor forsakes us. We think about, well, that's at church on Sunday morning, or in Sunday school, or at Bible study on Wednesday night. No. That means He'll never leave us nor forsake us. You know, I thank the Lord. I think about that verse when I was away from the Lord and laying out of church and backslid. Wasn't where I needed to be, and it wasn't anybody's fault but my own. Thank God, Brother Ray, that He didn't look at me the way I deserved to be looked at. He thought about me in that time. Aren't you glad this morning that God has extended His mercy toward you and His grace? He's there in the midst of it. He's right in the middle. He knows everything that's going on around you. He's thinking that nobody else may think about it. Nobody else may care, but God cares. If you don't believe me, go back. I don't know if you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress. You ought to. It's one of the greatest. It's a literary classic. If you've ever read that, how many of you are familiar? Anybody familiar with Pilgrim's Progress? That was written by a preacher, not when he was sitting in the study with his cup of coffee, looking out at the cardinals, you know, dancing off the apple trees. That's great. No, it was written while he was in prison for preaching the gospel because he refused to take a license to preach. They said, if we let you out, what will you do? He said, I'll preach again. And so in his bondage, he sits down and he writes a literary classic that the great Spurgeon read 100 times. It's all in his sermons that have been passed down now for generations. And that impact of that book is still being felt. It was written while he was in prison. Now, if I'd have been a preacher, if I'd have been him, I'd have been, Lord, I've tried to do right. Here they are throwing me in prison. Not only are they not taking up any offerings for me, they're actually putting me in jail. That's what took place. During that time, though, God knew all about it. There was a time in America, we think about the sadness. I mean, there's churches everywhere, but we forget this. But one of the reasons is because they had a movement. And they were throwing preachers in jail. They called it the Grace Movement because the preachers would implore people to come to Christ. They'd stick their hand through the grates of the jail. I've seen artists rendition of this. And the sheriffs and the deputies would cut their hands so that their hands would bleed while they preached the gospel in America. There was one lady that heard one of those preachers preach and fell in love with them. And they went, and they can trace back many, many descendants of them that later on become what we know now as the Southern Baptist in the United States. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing. So, man, that don't seem fair. It don't seem right. But even in the midst of that, can you imagine looking at your cut hands and you're laying in there at prison and saying, God, I'm just trying to do what you want me to do. Why is this happening? God says, I'm in charge. I'm in control. Trust me. I don't have thoughts of you. He's there in the midst of it. Number three, write this down. He cares about what we are facing. It may feel that God doesn't care, but in truth, He cares far more than we could ever know. Sometimes, now I'm not going to, I'll confess, I can't say that I always feel like God cares. I'm not going to say that I've always felt that in my heart and life. And I know some of you all, some of the situations you have faced, and I probably give you very little comfort because I'm like, I don't know what to say to them, Lord. I don't understand it. It sure don't seem to be fair what they're battling. I sure don't like this. Hey, but I know this, God cares. He cares more than we'll ever know. Now, sin has a way, and there's fruits that come from it. God cared about his people more than they cared about themselves. If it was up to them, they'd have been left to their own devices. They'd have been right into sin. They'd have become just like every other nation. But God says, I don't want that for you. I've got to allow this to take place in your life. He cares about what we are facing. Others may not, but God cares. Number four, real quickly, he promised to give grace to bring us through. He promises. I'd like you to take your Bible real quickly. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, real quickly. You can, if you want to, you can just write that reference down, but I'd like for you to turn there and see this with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it's very simple, but I want to read it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. You're going to know it. It's very familiar to you, but you need to stop for a moment, maybe see it this morning. Have you ever felt weak this morning? You ever felt spiritually tired or broken? Now, if you haven't, this may not mean as much to you, but if you have, this does. He said unto me, chapter 12, verse 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in what? Weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It's a different economy. Y'all right? Everybody awake? Listen up here now. Hey, it's a different economy with God than it is with man. We believe in strength and power and control. And God says, I'll take the weak thing to confound the wise. I'll take the thing that everybody else thinks is broke, everybody else thinks is not doing much, is not working very much. Hey, God will use that in a mighty and in a powerful way. Hey, more than we ever think, because he is made perfect in weakness. In fact, the very time when you feel the furthest away from God, many times you say, Lord, I can't make it. I need you is exactly where God wants you to be. You don't want to be often wrong and never in doubt. That's a horrible way to be. You need to be broken before God. He cares about what we are facing. He has promised grace to bring us through whatever it is that we're going through. And then, number five, write this down. He has promised rest in the midst of toil. Even in the middle of a weary day of trial, the Lord has promised rest his children if they'll come to him and lay their burdens down. Leave your heavy burdens at the cross, we sing. Oh, sinner, go free. And those burdens and those trials. Hey, if you're missing that, you're missing Christianity. If you don't want to know what it's like, if you don't understand what it's like to leave your heavy burdens, it's not about how great you are, how wonderful you are, how great God's going to make you. It's how you've got a great God that you can lay your heavy burdens down. You've got a God in heaven that gives you your existence. It's him that gives you. People are trying to find, you know, I'm trying to find myself, and it's all about myself. You're never going to be satisfied that way. That's never going to be satisfied. Flesh is always, it's never enough. People are trying to find their identity. I feel sorry today for young people that are trying to find their identity in school or in sports or in money or in pleasure, whatever it may be. Not only young people, all of us are trying to find their identity. And they're never going to be satisfied. So, well, if I do this, and well, look at me, and they'll have these, I mean, it's unbelievable. And right here, the nation of Israel is not going to be satisfied. They think that if they go into bondage, they'll be going to, well, if we're like these other countries, and God says, no. What makes you special is that I'm thinking about you. I'm thinking about you. My thoughts are toward you. And he has promised rest in the midst of toil. If you're tired this morning, God promised to give you rest. Now back to our text this morning. Not only does he know your sins, he knows your situation, but he knows if he is your Savior. God knows. I don't always know. But God knows. In fact, if we read on to our text, look what it says in verse 14. Verse 13 says that ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. You know, I love church and I want people to come, but you've got to be thirsty for God. You got to want God. God, I hear people say, well, it was rammed down my throat. Your parents in their attempts to help you may have done that, but I promise you today, God has not done that. I promise you that. God does not work that way. A mama or a papa, because of their love and compassion for their grandchildren, they may go overboard, go a little far to try to urge. But God doesn't do that. A preacher in his zeal or in his, you know, trying to be the pastor God's called him to be or the preacher, you may feel that way. You may feel the convicting of the Holy Spirit of God. But God does not make In fact, God throws up his flagpole, so to speak, and says, come unto me. God doesn't want you to come if you don't want to come. He does not need me to cause the sun to come up tomorrow. Do y'all know that? That's a pretty narcissistic view of yourself if you think everything's, it's your world, we're all just living in it. You ever been in traffic, somebody says, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know the whole road belonged to you. And that's kind of the way we live our lives. Oh, I'm sorry, we didn't know that the whole internet belonged to you. We didn't know that everything was about you. God reminds us that it's not all about us. God reminds us it's not all about me. He reminds us again and again that, hey, he knows this morning. Look at what it says. He says, you'll seek me and you'll find me when you shall search me with all of your heart. And I'll be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity. And I'll gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I've driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place which I caused you to be carried away captive. And I think there's some prophecy going on there as well. We're seeing this in the nation of Israel to this day. The nation of Israel is still in the headlines. We're seeing where they're gathering today. And I'm not going to get into prophecy this morning, but I think we're seeing a lot of this be fulfilled right before our eyes. And what an exciting thing it is. But he knows this morning if you're his. And you know if you're walking with him. I want to close with this verse, if you'll turn with me to John chapter 10, real quickly. John chapter 10, verse 27. Can you imagine this morning if somebody famous knew you? Can you imagine if the President of the United States, and they mentioned, and you put your name there, and they said, oh, I know him. I know him. Look what it says in John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I what? Know them. And they follow me. Now that's a very simple verse. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Now, I'm not a shepherd. I haven't been around many shepherds, but some of y'all that know anything about sheep and about livestock and things, they say that a sheep knows the voice and the sound. They kind of know. I forget what farmer it was told me that he could hit his locust post a certain way. And the hogs could come, I think it was. Maybe it's cattle. I'm not a farmer. Even though I feel like a farmer, I'm on a tractor. I think I'm a farmer. But they know. They say those animals know. Hey, most of you moms can pick your child's cry out of a crowd almost. My kids, Dad, we can always tell when you're around because we know how you cough. They hear me in the store, you know. We know those who are close to us. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We know. In my house, we have steps. I can tell who's coming down the steps by how they walk down the steps. And I'm an idiot. I'm thinking, oh, that's Austin. That's Danielle. I can tell by the way they're walking. I can tell just about when somebody knocks on the door whether they're upset or not. I can tell when somebody calls my phone. I can just about tell. You can just about tell how somebody's living by their appearance, by how they look. It just takes a little bit of deduction. You can usually tell. We're not usually hiding from anybody. Let me say something to you. God really knows. I may be fooled by it. I might not understand it, but hey, he knows if you're his Savior. Or if he's your Savior, I should say. He knows. He knows us. And what a blessed thing it is. I mean, it's great if somebody knows somebody famous that's interesting. I find it interesting. I enjoy that type of thing. Man, I see people that have their picture with somebody. Man, that's neat. Or somebody knows somebody. I mean, I get excited. If I go to a restaurant, somebody famous is at that restaurant, I say, man, look here. Who else is here beside us? I think it's neat. But God knows all about us. He actually thinks about us. Now, that convicts me and encourages me both at the same time. It convicts me and encourages me at the same time. On the one hand, I'm like, oh, dear God. God knows. I wish he didn't know that. I wish he hadn't have found that out. I remember I've seen people before. Maybe they're imbibing and they're drinking or smoking. And I remember one man I used to have to pay rent to. And it was funny. He couldn't see me coming up his driveway. And he'd be sitting out at the picnic table. And he would take his stuff, I guess you could say. And he would move it like this. trying to hide it from me. And I remember thinking, I'm just a man. You can hide it from me, but you're not going to hide it from God. Amen. And then there's some people, I think, sometimes, and people look at it and say, oh, look at them. I can't believe, look at them. But the Bible says this, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. And God knows those who fear Him, and God knows those who are going in going through these battles. And He thinks about us. Well, I thought about this all week, how that He thinks about me. He thinks about me. He thinks about us. Maybe you remember when you first met your sweetheart and you thought, man, they're thinking about me. And they'll send a note, say, I'm thinking of you. You know, we'll send it on cards, thinking of you. Sometimes as a church, we have a mail-out ministry. We say, hey, thinking, because we are, we're thinking about people. When they're not here, we think about it. I'll go home today and I'll think, now who was it there? Well, I'm missing them. Are they gone? Are they sick? Are they hurting? And I'll be thinking about them. God's put that on my heart. Way bigger than that and way more important than that, God's thinking about you. God's thinking about you this week when you're all alone driving down the road. Maybe you get discouraged or depressed or frustrated. Hey, God's thinking about you. Sometimes these little children, that you say, well, they're forgotten. God doesn't forget them. The Bible says that He's a father to the fatherless. Hey, sometimes you thought, man, who am I? I'm inconsequential. Not to God, you're not. In fact, you're so important that God sent His Son to die on the cross for you. You're so important that Jesus Christ laid down His life for you. You're so important that God give you a home in heaven, not because of who we are, but because of who He is. That's how important God takes it. I thank God this morning that He thinks about us, that He cares about me and cares about you, that ought to humble us, that ought to convict us, and then it ought to encourage us today. I wonder, what does it do for you today? Does it humble you? Does it convict you? Or do you thank God, hey, He knows me and I know Him. And one of the joys of heaven, if you love somebody, you normally want to be around them. Amen? And one of the great joys is if you know the Lord, because here's the thing about it. Sometimes I think we've almost had a false teaching and preaching in church that people in hell are going to miss God. It's not true. They're not going to say, oh, I can't believe I'm missing out on God. No, they did not want God. One of the joys of heaven is you have a desire to want to be with the Lord. Want to be around. Want to have that fellowship. In fact, we say, what a fellowship. What a peace of mind. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Lasting arms, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning on the everlasting arms. If you've ever felt broke or sad, went through something, to lean on somebody's arms, there's nothing like that. I wonder, do you know Him in that way? Because He knows and thinks about you. Let's all stand with every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I've tried to bring the message You put on my heart. I thank You for our people. I pray You'd encourage